Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI. We now return to Cordishi and Coit.
Welcome back to Cordishi and Coit on Sports Radio 103.7 FM WEEI. Nick Coit, I forgot that we have a scheduled guest here to wrap up our final segment of the show.
I didn't want to say it.
Yeah, it's bad. Oh, you can just correct me when I'm wrong.
Yeah, no, it's fine. Do you have a Red Sox thought quickly before we get to Eric?
I just thought it was rather convenient that they did a news dump the night that the Patriots were going to open up the season Sunday night. They tried to slide that through that Dombrowski was gone, right? Wasn't that a little convenient?
Yeah, it worked out, obviously, in their favor. I do think, though, that the timing was the timing was really weird, but I think this is going to come out at some point. I think there's inklings here that, like, he knew the writing was on the wall, so he went to them and said, what's my deal? I want a contract extension, whatever. What's my deal? And the Red Sox sort of forced their hand, like, well, we can't keep him in the building anymore now that he knows that we're not going to bring him back. And so they axed him. And then maybe just the announcement of it past midnight was a little too convenient. I don't know. It is convenient, and the timing doesn't look good. But at the same time, I think he forced the issue a little bit. And I think that's going to come out and come to light a little bit as time goes on here. But, yeah, timing doesn't look good for sure.
It's amazing, though, that the guy, you know, builds a world championship team a year ago, an historic world championship team. You know, they set all sorts of records in terms of wins, and he's dumped less than a year later. It's amazing.
But to me,
it's
more about where the organization is going from here. I think he came in to do a job, which was to, you know, load up for a World Series run. They won the World Series. And now they're going to have to retool the organization in the minor leagues a little bit, you know, plus make some major decisions going forward about talent. And I think they want somebody else at a different voice who's probably better at talent evaluating going forward.
And I'm fine with that. All I would say is this. When I look at the 2019 Red Sox season, Dave Dombrowski, to me, wasn't the problem. The starting rotation was the problem. They spit the bit. They were horrendous. They were awful. That's the reason why the Red Sox failed to live up to expectation this year.
I think we both fully agree on that.
All right. Let's bring in the aforementioned guest to talk about tomorrow's game between the Patriots and the Dolphins down here in Miami. And joining us on the line to do that, he covers the Patriots for Patriots Football Weekly. It's our friend Eric Scalavino. Good morning, Escal.
Well, Scott, first of all, you forgot that I was coming on. And then you forgot that we don't publish Patriots Football Weekly anymore.
Oh!
That is part of history. Our last issue was the Super Bowl coverage post 53 victory. So we've sunsetted the newspaper, but we're still alive and kicking on patriots.com.
All right. Thank you. I stand correct. See, I told you I'm wrong all the time.
That's good. He's too busy laying in the sunshine and, you know, enjoying the nice weather down there. And Eric, he's a little too comfortable. I don't know.
So Eric, are you coming down for the game?
I'll be there for the game. Don't you worry. But it doesn't look like it's going to be too sunny or comfortable with Umberto bearing down on the Bahamas and southern Florida. So I think weather is going to be a little bit more of a factor and not the typical heat and humidity that we're used to talking about down there.
Yeah, I said this earlier in the show. There's a high probability of thunderstorms between 1 and 4 or 5 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. And so we saw that Thursday night game get delayed because of thunderstorms, and you wonder
bite
if maybe
tongue,
we might not.
Bite your tongue, Scott. I don't want to hear any of that.
I know.
I'm crossing my fingers. I've never been part of one of those weather delays, and I hope never to be. So let's hope this is not the weekend for it.
All right, Eric, in your opinion, does Antonio Brown play tomorrow for the Patriots?
Yes. My instincts tell me yes. I don't think he'll go wire to wire or be out there for every snap, but I think they need to start working him in to this offense, get his feet wet a little bit, regardless of whether it rains or not, pardon the pun. But I do think he'll play a little bit and see just how much he's been able to absorb over the past week.
Yeah, just give us an idea. With a guy that comes in like this early in the season, didn't go through camp, and you know the Patriots bring him on here, how do they or how have they typically in the past, you know, eased a guy in that they want to get on the field right away but also don't want to overwhelm him because he's still learning the language of the offense, especially at receiver because it can be complex if you're joining mm-hmm. this offense?
Sure. It's a great question, and it's one that Bill Belichick was asked yesterday at his Friday press conference, and the short answer is it varies from player to player. You know, some depending on whether they've come from a program where there's knowledge of this system, it might be a little bit easier. It's just in terms of terminology, slightly different. Other cases, it's a matter of giving the player a few, a package of plays with which they're already comfortable, and just putting them on the field for those. So it remains to be seen with Brown. I mean, you know, the access that we're given during the regular season in practice is, you know, microscopic compared to the, you know, training camp access where we get the entire practice. So we don't know exactly, you know, how much Brown has been able to do this week. So it'll be up to, you know, and this is all assuming he is active. Like, they could very well put him on the inactive list tomorrow for the game, and we don't see him at all. But I don't think that's likely. I think he'll be out there for, you know, a certain amount of plays. Who knows what that'll be? I'll call it 6 to 10, maybe, and we'll see. That's just a guess on my part. But I think the plays that he's already most comfortable with are the ones that he'll be out there for.
You know, Erica, I'm not saying that Antonio Brown, like every other Patriots receiver, isn't going to run all sorts of patterns, you know, outs and digs and hitches and whatever they have in their, you know, route tree, but in general, would you envision his role with this offense similar to that of Randy Moss back in 07, 08, where, you know, he's a guy that's going to take the top off of defenses?
Well, he certainly is the one that's most capable if you look at the stable that they have now. You might have thought Gordon had that when he came in last year, but I think he showed that he's maybe not quite as fast as he might have once been. Edelman's obviously not that type of guy. Dorsett, maybe a little bit, but I think by far Brown is the most talented when it comes to those kind of routes. And it gives them an element of the offense that they haven't had for quite a while. I agree. I think he is the best weapon to have in terms of the downfield threat, and that will open up things more underneath on the intermediate routes for guys like Edelman, Dorsett, Gordon, and others. So I think it's, from a football perspective, it's going to be exciting to see you know, how much his insertion changes the dynamic of that offense. Again, with the weather being what it is predicted to be tomorrow, I'm not sure we'll see all of that because it might be difficult to do in those conditions. But I think down the road we'll probably see that a little bit more.
Yeah, I was reading, Eric, your unfiltered Q&A, and just the week has just been all about Antonio Brown and the mm-hmm. talk around him, especially with fans. It just seems like, you know, it was funny. You're the beginning of your piece here. It was like, you know, one fan has one reaction, one fan has a totally different one. One fan has questions about this, one fan has questions about that.
Right.
For all of the questions and all of the reaction to this, it's purely about, for Bill Belichick, it's about the football reasons and the fact that he had a rare chance to get a talent like this on his team, right? That sort mm-hmm. of outweighs everything for him, it seems like, and he just, is it that he feels like they can bring a guy in like this that, yeah, he's going to get the attention, but they can handle it in-house, and he feels that good about his players in the locker room now that any distractions that come up, like they have, they can handle it and get through it?
I think so. I mean, not to make light of the, you know, the sure. allegations surrounding Brown, but this team has dealt with worse. And, you know, I don't think I need to specify. I think we all know what I'm talking about. So they've dealt with distractions of all kinds on and off the field over the years, and it's endemic to this culture to be able to compartmentalize when you're on the field, when you have to focus on football, and when there's time to focus on your real life and the extraneous thing. So yeah, for Bill, it's about acquiring talent, assembling a team, and putting the best product on the field that he can, and letting the people who have to deal with the other stuff, deal with that other stuff. And as long as he can keep his team focused, focused on the goal at hand, which is to win football games and ultimately championships, then the risk is worth taking when it comes to a player as controversial as Brown.
Scott, let me just follow up on that and with Eric here. It just in terms of the perception of something like this, too, Bill just doesn't really seem to that doesn't faze him. It doesn't bother him. It seems like to bring in somebody like this that obviously when they brought him in, it doesn't sound like they knew something like this was going to pop up during the week or whatnot. But even before that, with all the off the field stuff, the helmet, the feet, all that stuff in Oakland, that to him was irrelevant or not irrelevant, but just he thought the football reasons to sign this guy outweighed anything else, and he just doesn't seem to care about the perception here, right?
Yeah, I mean, well, I don't know if he doesn't care about it, but I think, like I said, his job is to deal with the football aspect of it. You know, we have a PR department. We have others in the organization who are tasked with, you know, dealing with the messaging that goes out. So his job is to worry about the football team. And, you know, go back to the beginning of his career in New England. There have been players who've had, you know, questionable off-field activities, and they have come through this organization. Some have succeeded, some haven't on the field. But, you know, like I said, it's a risk I think that Bill is willing to take if it improves the product on the field and if it doesn't cause a disruption in his locker room. And I think he has enough veteran leaders on this team who can handle that, who can handle the locker room aspect of it. And I think he does trust them to do that. And so he's willing to, you know, they also do their due diligence on these players, and they find out if they think they have a chance to, you know, assimilate to the culture here. So they do that part of it first before they actually, you know, decide to bring a player in. But it comes down to acquiring the talent that they think will help their team.
Eric, my question, last question, is about the defense. Is this defense, or does it have the ability to be as good as we think it can be? Because, you know, we saw some real good things last year, and then a lot of optimism coming into this season and the way they performed in week one. I think a lot of people believe the Patriots are sitting on maybe one of the better defensive units in the league right now.
One of the better defensive units in the league, and one of the better defensive units the Patriots have had in the Belichick era, too, I think. The potential certainly is there. Now, look, it was only week one, and maybe Pittsburgh will end up being one of the worst teams in the league. I doubt it. Something tells me they'll probably be at least middling, you know, 9-7, you know, maybe 10-6. But they'll be in the conversation, I think. So they made a good team in Pittsburgh look totally unprepared and clueless last week. And that, I think, is just indicative of, like you said, what we've seen all summer. Going back to the end of last year, they've added some talent. They've gotten more experience on that side of the ball. And I really feel comfortable. You know, before they got Gordon back, before they added Brown, when we were talking in the summer about how, you know, the pass-catching part of the offense was really the weakest it's been in a long time, if you include the tight ends, we were really wondering if this defense was going to have to support this team and carry the offense throughout the year. Now I think that's maybe balanced out a little bit, but I still think the strength of this team is on the defensive side of the ball. And if they can, you know, hold opponents to under, you know, 17 points a game, which I don't think it's outrageous to think that they can do that given the slate that they have coming up. Maybe in the second half of the season when they start to see some more talented teams that could give them a challenge. But for at least the first half of the season, I don't see too many offenses that are going to be able to compete with this defense.
Last question for me, Eric. Going into this game tomorrow, I actually was sort of surprised that Marcus Cannon jumped back on the field as fast as he did, you know, getting hurt in the Steelers game. He's listed as questionable. Does he play? Has he improved as the week has gone on? Maybe were you surprised to see him out there practicing as well?
A little bit. Yeah, I was pleasantly surprised that he was able to get on the field. I mean, the first day he sort of had, you know, he had kind of like, you know, a brace around that left shoulder and was, you know, not really didn't have much range of motion with it. Maybe he got a little bit better as the week went on, but my hunch is that he will be inactive for this game. Maybe a better chance we see him next week. But the fact that he was on the field at all and is listed as questionable certainly gives him a chance to play against Miami. I think they'd probably be better off playing it safe and keeping him on the shelf this week, though. Sure.
Eric, as always, thank you. Great stuff. Maybe we'll see you down here tomorrow.
Will do. I'll look out for you.
All right. Good stuff.
Thanks, Eric.
Eric Scalavino, who covers the Patriots for Patriots.com. I stand corrected. Wrapping it up for us here on Cordishy and Coit.
A little too comfortable down there, Cordishy.
I am comfortable down
here. Hey, enjoy it, man. Enjoy the game.
This is my happy place down here.
It's good.
Yeah. All right, what do you got, Coit? You got another 2 hours to go, don't you?
Another 2 hours. I'm here with Ben Kitchen the next 2 hours, filling in for Mark Dondero today. Wow, that's my Boston accent coming out. Yeah, it's Mark and Kitchen, but I'm filling in today. So, yeah, it should be fun. I don't know what we're going to talk about, though. No idea what we're going to talk about the next 2 hours. Can you have a hunch?
You have a great show.
Thanks.
Whatever you decide to talk about. Joe Passarelli, thank you. Great job, as always, producing this thing. Laura Minicucci for putting it all together during the week as well. He's Nick Coit. I'm Scott Cordishy. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI. This is Cordishy and Coit.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.